And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert for February 16th. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
Good morning, Mark. How
hey,
you
Dave.
Going? You know the weather or something, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's the Illinois thing.
Yeah.
You don't like it today, wait half hour, it'll change.
Absolutely. Well, it's been beautiful, and it's, you know, we have crocuses and flowers starting to poke up, and it's a sign of spring.
And the golfers are coming back. Not that they don't golf in a blizzard, but I'm just saying that you were seeing more of them.
Yeah. Well, I've been out once, and I plan to get out this weekend. So, you know, spring is such a time of renewal and growth, and it's just my favorite time of year. My favorite month is April.
Yeah.
You know, and
April showers. You like the rain,
and birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Speaking of that,
yeah.
Happy birthday tomorrow, brother.
Oh, thank
oh,
you.
Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it is today.
It's today.
It is today.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
your what?
It's also my dad's birthday.
Yes, I know. I forgot that big, Dave.
Dad and I are born. We're born on the same day.
Yeah.
I'm David R. Slade, Jr. He's David R. Slade, Sr.
He looks so much more distinguished than you for being born the same day.
Yeah. You know, it was very confusing because he was a fireman and I was a policeman.
Yes.
Same name, same birthday, you know, really.
Yeah. History books someday will say, and Dave Slade retired from the fire department and got on the police department.
Man. Yeah, well, you know, when I got my first pension check from the city, the gal said she saw Dave Slade fire pension. She cut him off. He didn't get his pension check.
They're always looking for a way to save money.
Well, they didn't realize there was two days late.
That's hilarious.
Hey, have you been getting any odd phone calls here?
Yes.
You know,
fire charity?
I got the one yesterday where they said, this is so-and-so from the auto warranty division. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, just say yes.
And they want you to say yes. So, folks, that is a scam.
Yep, run.
They want to take your yes and put it into a clip later when you agree to buy this insurance or whatever from them. If you don't recognize the number, you probably not ought to answer the phone.
Yep.
There's a jury duty scam going on. There's one that goes on about there's a parking ticket warrant for your arrest that you can take care of.
Visa calling, wanting to know your numbers.
Yep. There's one where a lien has been placed against your property.
Yes.
And if you want to get a copy of your title to your property,
send
$89 to this address.
Which you can get for less than $3 at the recorder's office.
Yeah. It's amazing the stuff that they come up with to fool you.
They're always a step ahead, Dave.
Yep. We get one every so often at home where there's a gal and she's acting distracted. And she said, I'm sorry, my husband was acting up. And it's, you know, so it sounds like it's a live phone call,
right,
but it's not.
Yeah.
So, folks, please be careful when you answer a phone that you don't know the number that's calling you. And if they start off by asking you some kind of silly question, hang up.
And if you don't know the number, folks, and you got caller ID, don't answer. Let them leave a message. If it's important enough, they will. Just don't pick the phone up.
Yep, absolutely. I had a really good experience, Mark, the other day. I had to go renew my driver's license because it's my birthday.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people kind of dread going out to the Secretary of State's office and renewing license plates or whatever.
You've got this vision of standing in line for hours or sitting there. And
They give you a number and it's 17 and, you know, they're on 1.
but -3.
Yeah. I am going to stand up and tell you right now that I was treated so well the other day when I went in there. I walked up to the reception area and the guy asked me what, you know, I needed. And I said, I need to renew my driver's license. He took very basic information and then sent me down to one of the windows, number 14, I believe it was. And the guy there greeted me. He was very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said, I recognize your voice. And I said, how could that be?
He
said, well, I listen to Catholic radio.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. And
who was it?
You know, I don't know his name. And if he's listening, I'm sorry. But, man,
you
did a great
job.
Anyway.
I'm sorry he doesn't know your name.
He called Joan Rupp over, and I've known Joan for years.
Right.
She's a supervisor up there, I think.
Yes.
And we got into a little conversation, and her mother, Joyce, is a new listener to the show because
we
talked about that. She said her mom watches a lot of EWTN.
Hey, Joyce, how are you? Glad you tuned in.
Yeah. And to hear on the radio some fresh stuff is really good. I took my eye test, and they shot my picture, and I was out of there in about 10 minutes, leaving with just the very pleasant experience that you hear so negatively about.
Yeah.
And
I what time did you go and what day of the week?
Well, it was. I think I went on a. I went last Thursday at about 11 in the morning.
Oh, right before
and
lunch.
There wasn't really anybody there.
Wow.
So for all you people that are down on the DMV, just realize that you can have a good experience. And a lot, I think, of your experience when you go in there is your mindset.
Yeah,
I
think
so, too. If you go in there with a bad attitude, thinking I'm going to be here forever and these people aren't going to treat me right, you're probably, that's what you're going to get.
But doesn't that hold for everything, brother?
Yeah, it does. It does, Mark. That is the absolute truth. Yep. Hey, there's a new building going up at Monroe and Pershing, or it could be MacArthur.
Yeah, I see it at the northeast corner.
Yeah. It's called the Vita Women's Center.
I wondered what that was going to be.
Now, you know what Vita means?
Vitamin?
Life.
Oh, life.
It's the Life Women's Center.
Wow.
And I'm not sure exactly what's going in there, but any kind of women's center that has life in it,
yeah,
that's got to be a good thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just a few blocks from the other place down the street behind the two car dealerships called Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
That's down there. And,
well, that kind of is working into our theme. Or one of our topics today, Dave.
Yeah, it is.
The value of life.
We're going to talk about a little bit about life today. I want to remind everybody that the Planned Parenthood Clinic in the 3,000 block of North Oakland Street here in Decatur does chemical abortions up to 10 weeks, and I just think that's awful. And this past weekend across the country, there were protests at Planned Parenthood centers, but we didn't have one here in Decatur, and that bothers me a little bit. Our pro-life group here in Macon County, and I'm sure there is one, really should have put something together, and we should have been out there with our signs.
And
voicing
that is
our,
unusual, because usually they are.
Yeah, yeah. So if you know someone in that pro-life movement here in Macon County, give them a holler and find out how can we get involved and what do we need to do to stand up outside of that, I'm going to just call it an abortion center, basically. Yeah. And get our voices heard, because, Mark, life is winning.
Oh, yeah, we sure are.
You know, abortion numbers are down to a lower rate than they were in 73 when Roe versus Wade passed.
Yep.
And life is winning. But it's only winning because people are getting involved and making their voices heard and selecting the right government officials that will promote life. And that's life from conception to natural death.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Dave, that there has been more and more information over the last several years about abortion itself that's been put out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think people are slowly realizing that this isn't a, quote, painless procedure where no one gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because the emotional trauma for even the mother who makes the choice to abort lives on.
Yes.
And can be for years and years and years, and maybe the duration of her life for making that decision. And what the physical trauma to an infant, people write that off. I mean, would you kill a puppy?
Yeah, exactly.
But you, no problem getting rid of an embryo.
Well,
you know,
you
baby.
Can go to jail for breaking a goose egg on a golf course.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, federal crime.
Yeah,
protected species, but life, human life, is not protected.
Well, listen, let's take about a 60-second break here.
We'll I got to get off the soapbox.
On the other side,
my knees are shaking.
I want to talk a little bit about the euthanasia issue and physician-assisted suicide. And we're going to talk about what the Bishops' Conference says and what's going on around the world and in this country here on the Cradle and the Convert on 88.9, 96.5, WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio.
Now go away.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
The xylophone wore my hands out. Why did you make me play that long?
When's the last time you heard that song?
Oh, Desi and Lucy, I think.
Yeah, or the Ed Sullivan Show or something.
Yeah.
I looked all over trying to find that. That's not really the version. That's the Spike, or the, not Spike Lee, the Spike Jones version.
I think I've got that on my doorbell.
All right, back to a more serious subject here this
let's
morning.
Let's straighten up.
We're going to talk a little bit about something that's been in the news lately, and that's euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. Now, the difference between euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide, or what the liberals are wanting to call physician-assisted death, the death with dignity clause, is that euthanasia is where you are given a drug to kill you.
Yes.
Physician-assisted suicide is when the doctor prescribes medication for you to take on your own whenever you feel like, you know, the time is near.
You're ready, why doesn't he load the gun and hand it to you, and you can just take the loaded gun home? And
well, they try to portray it as death with dignity.
How is that?
Well, you know, I go to a lot of nursing homes around the area, and I take communion on Mondays to homebound folks. And, Mark, there's some really sad cases in the
nursing
homes. Well,
there are. There's no doubt about that.
And I see some of the same people sitting in the same places in wheelchairs with their heads slumped over week after week after week. And I think, my gosh, what's going through their minds? Is anything going through their minds?
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you think, Lord, why don't you take them? Is there something still in their lives that needs to be accomplished, or something through the end of their life that needs to be accomplished, because they just seem to have this awful existence?
Well, let me throw a different filter on that in your glasses there as you're looking at this scene. What about the poor baby in the womb that is being born to a mother that didn't want this baby to begin with, that maybe was abused herself, thinks perhaps that she won't be a good mother and wants to avoid the whole hassle of the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that baby have the right to die with dignity?
Yeah, exactly.
I got some issues with that philosophy.
Well, here in the United States now, when I wasn't promoting that philosophy.
No, I know that.
That's how people look at it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And they say, well, those people should be allowed to die with dignity.
Right.
Well, that's not our decision to allow someone to die with dignity. That's God's choice.
Right.
You know, he makes that call, not us.
If that were not the case, Dave, why would we all be able to live here on earth as mortals in eternity?
Well, don't you think there are people out there that think they're going to do that? They're going to be frozen, or they're going to find a cure for everything, and they're going to live forever.
No.
But, you know, that's just not the case. And when you look at stuff, talk about death with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the case of Terry Schiavo?
Oh, my gosh.
That was awful. Wanted to do a physician assisted, but it wasn't suicide because she didn't want to die.
Right.
But they said she couldn't tell because she was in a vegetative state.
Right.
However, she could look at you, she could blink, she could nod her head. It was crazy. Now, in the United States, physician assisted suicide is legal in Oregon, Washington, and California, the three super liberal states out on the West Coast, Montana, Vermont, New Mexico, and Colorado. It's called the Death with Dignity Act, and believe me, it's coming to a state near you.
Now, wasn't that initially the Northwest in California? Wasn't that initially a Dr. Kevorkian territory?
Kevorkian was in Michigan.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was up in Michigan.
I thought he was in Washington State.
Nope, I'm pretty sure he was up in Michigan.
All right.
But the Gallup poll, most recent Gallup poll on physician-assisted suicide, says that 69% of Americans think that's okay.
No kidding.
Yep. And 51% of those polled said if they had an incurable disease or were in pain, that they would employ physician-assisted suicide.
Well, maybe St. John, when Christ was hanging on the cross, ready to offer his suffering for all of us, could have given him a pill that he would have died a little quicker to avoid all that suffering.
Well, the people that we would be wanting to talk to here aren't listening to us.
Yeah, I suppose.
They're not listening.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
you're right.
The world itself is always looking for the easy way. You know, the easy way. And life is not easy.
No, it's not.
And so, you know, you can't always take the easy way. We're always looking for in life, what is the easiest thing to do? Well, We have microwave ovens now that'll cook for us in a second or two flat. The younger people today that like these video games, they can get killed in a game and wreck their car and hit the reset button, and they get new lives and a new car.
Get killed 30 times a day playing the game. Come back.
Well, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Mark, I just want to tell you what they talk about when it comes to euthanasia. This is paragraph 2276. Those whose lives are diminished or weakened deserve special respect. Sick or handicapped persons should be helped to lead as normal lives as possible.
Yes.
Whenever its motives and means, direct euthanasia consists in putting an end to the lives of the handicapped, sick, or dying, it is morally unacceptable. That's the teaching of the Catholic Church. Along with suicide itself, that the Church has always considered a selfish act.
Yes.
And up until recently, when we really decided that suicide, anyone that commits suicide really is suffering a mental
issue. That's exactly right, yeah.
Now, if you're making the choice because you're in pain or whatever, I don't know. We'll leave that up to God to judge.
Yeah.
But what I worry about when it comes to physician-assisted suicide is I just read a story out of the Netherlands. And, of course, the Netherlands, you know, Europe, they're the ones that, that somehow or another we seem to do whatever Europe does. Wow. And the country always does what the West Coast does.
Yep.
Well, a lady in the Netherlands was, she had written into her living will that she didn't want to be put in a nursing home.
Okay.
And she would rather die before going to a nursing home. Well, the time came when she had to be put in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And the family said, okay, do you want us to take, you know, take your life and do what you... She said, no, no, I've changed my mind. I don't want to.
Wow.
But she was a very disruptive patient.
Uh-oh.
And the doctors and the family got together and they said, you know, we really should honor her wishes that she didn't want to be in here. And the family held her down and they euthanized her. Now,
good grief.
So that's against her will. And that's what it's going to come to is when someone becomes too old or too hard to take care of, the family eventually will get to make that choice if they want to. That's the slippery slope of physician-assisted suicide. You know, you may want to make that decision, and if you do, that's between you and your God, but we know the Church says that's not good. But when it comes to the point where great-grandma is just too hard to take care of anymore, or she's too cantankerous, or grandpa keeps wandering off and he'd had Alzheimer's for a year, then the family will make the choice with the doctor. That's what's going on in Europe now, against this person's will. There were also people that committed suicide by doctor that suffered from such things as tinnitus.
Oh, you're kidding.
Tinnitus. Okay, I have that.
Yeah, me too.
It's not something I would, but mine may not be as bad as this person's was, but there's no structure to it. It can just simply be, I'm tired of living. I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. It's too hard, you know. Just like my old dog, you know, give me a shot and put me down.
Yeah.
And in this culture of death that slowly we're beginning to win, here's the next big battle, euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. Yeah. That's going to be the next big battle. We know when it comes to abortion, the tide's turning, and we're starting to see the numbers drop, the number of abortion clinics drop, the number of females seeking abortion because they've found other options, like the New Life Pregnancy Center here in Decatur, or any crisis pregnancy center that is a pro-life center. So we're starting to see some wins in that area. But and we can't give up. We're going to have to keep fighting until abortion and Roe v. Wade is overturned, and we may see that one of these days. But when it comes to physician-assisted suicide, we need to look at this real carefully.
Well, Dave, I got to say this. The process of abortion in decline has largely been due to education and a lot of education on the part of the people who were once very pro-abortion.
Right.
And I have to tell you, I'll be perfectly honest with our listeners, there were so many atrocities that you and I both observed in law enforcement and crimes perpetrated against others. Sometimes the innocent, sometimes children, sometimes the elderly. It was so horrendous, and your mind just couldn't wrap your mind around how some human could do this to such a vulnerable victim that I used to make a statement, and not too unfrequently, when people said, are you in favor of the death penalty? I would reply, Dave, I could eat a sandwich while pushing the button on the gallows and not bother me. Now, I'm not proud of that today because I've been educated a little more.
Right.
When we saw so many people that were wrongly convicted over the years that were freed by new scientific development or by new evidence or witnesses over time losing their fear or intimidation and coming forward and saying, I testified falsely.
Yeah, I was coerced.
I can't. I've changed my stand on the death penalty.
Well, you know, in this current day, it's politically correct, Mark, to say we have evolved.
Yes.
We have evolved on the death penalty. I'm no longer an advocate for the death penalty.
You were too?
I was.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. I never really worked any death penalty cases other than the death of Donald Bivens.
Right.
And that I was just in a very peripheral part of that case. But, I understand. And then, of course, I had the opportunity in Chicago back when I was a narcotics officer to meet the captain who
John Burge.
That was in charge of these coerced confessions, the torture.
That was a dark cloud over Chicago PD history.
Well, and that's where they found a lot of these people that were on death row.
20 plus.
Were not guilty.
Right.
You know, not that they were innocent.
Right.
But they were not guilty.
Right. There wasn't sufficient evidence.
Capital murder. So, folks, life is winning. And so what we're talking about here just this morning between Mark and I.
Yeah. And whoever's listening.
Yeah.
We sometimes forget about that, folks.
My mom and Joyce.
Yeah.
Pro-life is winning. The abortion numbers are down. The death penalty has been removed in a lot of places. The moratorium on it in Illinois still stands. The physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia is the next big thing. So educate yourself about it. I tried real hard to get someone from the diocese to come over and talk with us today.
Oh, yeah?
There's something going on this week. I couldn't get a guest to talk about it today. We may bring it up again sometime, but it's just something that, you know, you just have to look at the slippery slope you're headed down when you start to allow people to take their lives, and eventually it'll be letting the family decide, and then eventually it'll be the doctors. Or it'll be the insurance company saying it costs too much to keep this guy alive.
You know, Dave, I got to add something here real quick about individuals that say you can sit there and judge all you want. But have you ever seen someone who's dying and they're in pain or they're in such a deteriorated mental state that they're not capable of even knowing they're alive, and they wouldn't want to live that way? Have you ever faced that situation, especially with somebody you love, and to be able to sit there and judge us when we made a choice? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
And I've told this story many times. I'm not going to tell it again, but there are numerous, numerous accounts, valid, verified accounts of people who in their final moments sat up in bed, who had been comatose, eyes wide open, looked at everybody in the room, flop back down on the pillow and we're gone.
Yeah.
My father, my own father, raising his hand in a complete state of unconsciousness to the ceiling and smiling from ear to ear when he had been practically comatose for days at the very last minute.
Yeah.
Well, what's that tell you?
Well, it tells me that we don't need to cut in on what God's will is for that person.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that suffering is purification.
Yes.
And, you know, I've discussed this before. We're not afraid to die. We're just afraid of how it'll be.
That's exactly
but,
right.
But, you know, that's in God's hands.
That's right.
That's in God's
hands. It's not our choice.
All right, let's take a break. I've got Ed Smith is coming in this morning to talk about Habitat for Humanity.
Good.
And we'll get off our soapboxes and take a drink of water.
I'm scared of heights anyway. I got to get down.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
OK,
Okay, with us in the studio this morning, Mr. Ed Smith, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Now, hey, Ed.
How long you been doing this, Ed?
I've been the Executive Director for about a year and a half now.
And what did you do before you took that on? Did you work somewhere? Or what?
Never. Not a day in his life.
As you guys well know, I retired from the Decatur Police Department about 7 years ago.
That's right. That's where we know him from, Mark.
7 years ago. He was a youngster. Yeah. I forgot.
Okay. Did a little bit of private investigator work after that, and then I landed here.
Well, we're glad you did. I know the Habitat for Humanity, the first time I got involved with it at all was when the parishes were building that house on Webster Street.
Yep.
And what a beautiful home that is now. Ed, you know, a lot of people in our audience really aren't familiar with what Habitat for Humanity is and does. Why don't you fill us in a little bit about the mission statement, what you guys do, how many homes you've built, and how people can call to help?
Well, our mission statement simply says that we're seeking to put God's love into action, bringing people together to build homes, community, and hope. One of the biggest things I found with Habitat is a lot of people don't really understand what we do. A lot of people think we give away houses.
That's right.
And we don't. The families that get Habitat houses are all pre-vetted. They go through through our family selection process. They have to have 2 years of work history. They have to have a certain income level. They have to do 300 hours of sweat equity, and then they get a mortgage for the home.
Now, wait a minute. You mean the people that are getting these homes are actually doing some of the work on building the home?
Right.
Or completing it.
They can do sweat equity hours either, and it's really good now because we have the Restore.
Yeah.
Because now they can do their sweat equity hours working for us in the Restore as well as working on
now,
homes.
Now, what is that? What is the Restore?
The Restore's our new store and our offices are both have moved to 932 Eastwood.
Is that the standard hatchery used to be?
It's across the street on the north side.
Oh, yeah.
So
even numbers are on the north side, Mark. Yeah.
But the Restore, it gives people donate to it, building supplies, construction materials, household goods. We have furniture. And all this donated material, then we sell it, and then that profits help us to build more homes.
Okay, so if you don't need the donated material or you get an excess of it, then you offer that for sale. Is that to the public or just those that have a home through?
No, it's to the public.
Okay.
I mean, it's public. We're open from right now. We're trying to get up and running. We're open on Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, Saturday mornings from 10 to 2, and hopefully pretty soon we'll get some more hours going.
So I get a window broken, I can go find a 4x8 sheet of plywood at the Restore.
Yep, you can find a whole truckload of cabinets that I just unloaded this morning. So
I wished you would have wiped the sweat off of you before you came in and stained our chairs. But
no, getting back to the thought process of the Habitat, our partners having to help us to build the homes. Part of the whole process is the thought that not only do they become homeowners, but by helping us build the home, then they can maintain it afterwards because they know the construction of the home, how it works.
Sure. So. Cool. I did not realize that.
So Ed, the current projects during the wintertime, do you do a lot of inside stuff, finishing work? Or are you actually out pouring foundations, and what's going on with the current project?
Well, right now we've got a house going on Whitmer Street, and we're to the point of needing to put drywall in it. One of our big needs right now is our construction manager has left us, and we're looking for somebody who would want to manage our construction project. So it's normally a volunteer position, but if somebody wants to come talk to me, we can see what we can do.
That desperate, huh?
That desperate.
Now, this could be somebody who has a background in construction, building houses or doing remodels or something like that professionally retired. Or...
Well, yeah. And what we do a lot of times, and we've had really good luck with like the CAT Young Professionals, ADM Young Professionals,
right.
We'll schedule a day. And our problem right now is we've got people who want to help us, but we don't have anybody to lead them in the construction.
Okay, so
area.
This isn't a hands-on position. It's a more supervisory role.
It can be either or.
Okay, All right.
Like I said, I'm open to discussion.
Okay. Well, I have talents in neither, so I can't help you. But surely somebody out there listening knows someone.
Well, I'll bet he'll will take a monetary donation, Ed, if somebody wants to give to assist the Habitat for Humanity. I know you guys have to spend money, and I know that the national supports you to some degree, but local participation in donations, too, is important, right?
So how do we do that, Ed?
Very much. You can call the office at 425-6446. You could send a donation to us. We use P.O. Box 832, Decatur, Illinois, 62523. Or you can stop by the office. We're always happy to have people stop by. That's one of the pleasures now of having our own office and the ReStore located together, because we've got space. People can stop in and see us now. We're not closed in. And
well, now we're in the 21st century, and we swipe cards. Can you do that there for a donation?
Yes, you can. Or not for donations, but you can for the ReStore.
Oh. Well, how about if I make my donation at the ReStore?
Well,
are you going to buy?
That's a good somebody one. To go hang that 4x8 sheet. Yeah. Well, first of all, they're going to have to carry it out. I'm not capable, so, you know.
Ed, I see, too, that you can get more information if you go to www.decaturhabitat.org. You got a really nice website there. It's pleasant to look at. It's got some pictures and a lot of information on how to help Habitat for Humanity. We're glad you stopped in this morning. We're going to run some spots for you. And hopefully, you know, if you're interested out there in the listening audience and you call Ed at the office, you'll let him know you heard him on WDCR Catholic Radio. And just be glad that we have such a great organization in Decatur.
And a great guy running it.
How many houses have you guys done here in Decatur?
We're building our 64th.
Wow. Right now.
That's amazing.
It is.
And just real quick, that's how the organization works. We have mortgages that we mortgage the houses. We're the mortgage finance company. So we put the money up front for the homes. We give people the mortgages interest-free for 30 years. That's how they get such That's how they get a low mortgage. And then a percentage of that comes back to us, and it generates about enough money a year to finance one more house. So
wow, that is self-sustaining.
It helps. So, but we could always use help.
Yeah, sure.
All right, give us the phone numbers one more time, Eddie.
Okay, we've got some new phone numbers. My office number is 330-5868, 330-5868. The ReStore number is 330-5870. 338-5870, and our regular office number is 425-6446, 425-6446.
All right, that's Ed Smith, the Executive Director of the Decatur Habitat for Humanity, with us here this morning on The Cradle and the Convert. Ed, keep in touch with us. We'll run some spots for you, and hopefully we'll get you some volunteers. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Good to see you.
Hard to stay away from you guys.
It is. I'm telling you.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Because we owe him money, folks.
We'll be right back after this.